I want to turn to the book of Acts and the chapter 4. The book of Acts and the chapter 4. My text this morning can be found in the verse 13. The book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were all learnt and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." And they took knowledge of these men, Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. Let's look to the Lord and ask for His help. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou would bless us around Thy word. We pray indeed to be a challenge to all of our hearts today, Lord, to take a stand for Christ and to give our life unto the one who has loved us and washed us, Lord, from our sins in His own precious blood. Bless Thy word, we ask of Thee. Give us help to listen, and give us, Lord, help to preach the word that You have laid upon our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, taught him a very, very serious and a truthful lesson. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And he's writing a letter to this young Christian, this young man of God, Timothy, and he's reminding him, it will not be easy living for Christ in this world. In fact, all people, no matter who they are, if they live godly in this world, they shall suffer persecution. It will not always be easy living for Christ. Maybe that is your position here this morning. Maybe you're going through hard times at home, hard times in the workplace, hard times, my friends, in the community in which you live. You're suffering all because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we are to expect it. The Lord Jesus Himself said in John 16, verse 33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." As long as you're in this world, as long as you and I, my friends, this is this side of eternity, we shall have tribulation, we shall have troubles, we shall have sorrows, we shall have hardships. It will not always be easy living for Christ. In fact, if you read of the old men of God in the past, like John Wesley, there were men who were persecuted greatly. It's recorded of John Wesley one time as he was riding his horse along the road that 3 days had passed and he had suffered no persecution. Not a brick, not an egg had been thrown at him. And when this came to his mind, he stopped his horse and he said, "I have not been persecuted for 3 days. Maybe," he says, "I'm backslidden." And he jumped off his horse and he got in behind a hedge and he says, "Lord," he says, "if there's anything wrong with me, I want You to reveal it unto me." Well, there was a way across the hedge a farmer. He heard this noise of this man praying. And he says, "I know that's that Methodist preacher, Wesley." And he lifted a brick and he fired a brick across the hedge at Wesley and the brick had missed him. And Wesley got up and he says, "Thank God," he says, "everything's all right." And he got on his horse and away he went. You see, he was expecting persecution. Not easy living for Christ, you see. And here in this passage in the book of Acts, we see something of this truth, the truth of the words of Christ and the Apostle Paul that they spoke. Two men, Peter and John, two men of faith, two men who loved Christ. We find here that they have been arrested. Rested by the religious rulers of Jerusalem. All because of a great miracle. All because they healed a man who had been lame from birth. And all because they had preached Christ and His resurrection. And there they're taken and they're cast into prison, into the hole. They were arrested. It tells us there were also, they were asked in verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this? How did you do it?" This is a great miracle. This is something that has really taken the city by storm. Everybody is talking about what happened outside the temple of Jerusalem. How did you do it? And so they were asked, they were questioned, all about their faith, all about their activity. And they listened to what Peter and John had to say. And after they had listened to what Peter and John had to say, they were assessed, and they said to all, to one to another, I know what about these men. They have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus. And as they assessed Peter and John and all that they said and all that they had done, they said, I know they have been with Jesus. That summed up, dear friends, their life at this particular time. These men had been in the company of Christ. This was the conclusion. It was an anonymous decision. It says, and they saw they had been with Jesus. Everyone agreed. They had been with Jesus. You see, friends, were suffering in their life that showed they had been with Christ. That even their very enemies had to conclude this. These were their enemies. These were men who hated Christ, who hated the Word of God. They hated anything to do with true Christianity. And as they listened, and as they looked at Peter and John, they said, these men, they have been with Jesus. Just look at their life. Examine their life. And they could see they've been with Jesus. And I wonder this morning, as we look at your life, can people tell that you've been with Jesus? Can it tell, friends, that you've been with Jesus? What was it then? What was it that stood out in the lives of Peter and John as they sat here before these religious hypocrites and these religious rulers? What was it that really stood out that showed these men that they had been with Jesus? Well, there's a number of things. I want to say, first of all, that their service spoke that they had been with Jesus. A reading of the previous chapter reveals that these were men who were in the service of Christ. They had an interest in the work of Christ. They were industrious in the work. They went about, these men who were saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, they went about serving the Master that they loved. Their very service, their very life, it showed they had been with Jesus. They had done a good work. In chapter 3, verse 6, it tells us what they did. This man who was lame from birth, this man who was over 40 years old, sitting, my friends, could not move. He was helpless. He was down. He was out. He was lost. We find Peter and John passing by, and their heart is drawn to this man who's been sitting for many years. He asked for silver and gold, but they said to him in verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones were seized strong. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, what a miracle took place here outside the temple. Peter and John was going into the temple. They were interested in the work of God. They were doing the work of Christ. Here's a man they helped on to his feet. Oh, friend, it was a work that was good. You see, they were going about doing good. They were going about doing good, these men. Well, then, do we not think of Christ? Does it not say in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power? Who went about doing good? Was Peter and John not just following the very footsteps of Christ? Christ, he went about doing good. Helping those who needed that touch in their lives. Helping the sick, helping the poor, helping the sinful. He went about doing good. Here's Peter and John. They went about doing good. They could see it in the service that this was, my friends, a good service, a good work. And also that it was a great work. Because in verse 14 of our chapter it says, "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them," they could say nothing against it. Listen, it was a great work. They actually said there in the verse 16, "For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and is manifest to all them." They said, "It's a miracle." These were the enemies. They said, "These men have wrought a great miracle. Everybody knows this man. Everybody knows he sat outside the temple. Now he's standing, and behold," it says here, "and beholding this, the man which was him standing," there he was. There he was standing in their midst. They could see that a great work had been done by these men. Was the Lord Jesus' works not the same? Does it not say in John 12, verse 18, after Christ in the previous chapter, he had brought Lazarus up from the grave? It says, "For this cause the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle." The people had heard how Christ had done a miracle. This great work. Here's Peter and John in their service. They had been with Jesus. They're following the very, very same footsteps as the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was also a God-glorifying work, because when they were asked, "How did you do it?" they told them, "We did it by the power of Christ, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And by his name, the name of Christ, this man now walks." Oh, dear friends, you see, they could see they had been with Christ because they were living for Christ. They were following the very, very footsteps of Christ. Like the Apostle Paul of old, he says, "For me to live is Christ." Oh, they took knowledge of Peter and John. These men, they've been with Jesus. How do you know? Well, just look what they're doing. Just look at their service. They're helping people. They're doing great miracles, you see. They're giving all the glory to God in their service. Their very actions, it shows that they have been with Jesus. Friends, how true it is, that text in Matthew 7 and verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." By their fruits ye shall know them. And these men were fruitful. They were bringing forth fruit. They were showing by their very lives and by their service that they've been with Jesus. And I say to all of God's people here this morning, do you show by your life you've been with Christ? Do people look upon you and say, "That man, that woman, that young Christian, young girl, young boy, they have been with Jesus"? How do you know it? Do you see it in your life? Do you see it? That you have an interest in the service of the Lord. You have an interest in the work of God. Not all called to preach. Not all called to be elders or deacons. Not all called, my friends, to be Sunday school teachers. But we're all called to serve. Are you interested? Someone has said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove it? Would there be enough evidence? Would they have to go looking for the evidence? You see, dear friends, over there in the book of James, in chapter 2 and verse 14, and James is writing about Christian living. And he says there in verse 14, James 2, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and if not works, can faith save him?" Can faith save him? He's talking here about a faith without works. Someone says, "I belong to Christ. I have been washed in the blood of a lamb. I'm a man of God." Well, he says, "Show me thy works." On down that chapter. "Show me thy works." And then he tells us that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. How about Peter and John? They had been with Jesus. They looked at these men. They saw them going about. They were doing good. They were doing God's work. And they said, "These men have been with Jesus." Tell me, have you got testimony in the town? Have you got testimony where you're from, my friends, that you've been with Jesus? People can see it in your life. You have an interest in the salvation of souls. An interest in helping ungodly people onto their feet. An interest in bringing people to Christ. You see, you've been with Jesus.
You have this interest, friends. You play a part, whatever that part God is. He may give you a small part. He may give you a large part. But they took knowledge they had been with Jesus. Their very life, their very service showed that these men have been with Jesus. Are we following Christ in this way? Are we like Christ going about doing good? Are we like Peter and John, my friends, in this fashion? Are we seeking to do a little bit for Christ, whatever it is? The Lord will show you what He wants you to do with your life, no doubt about that. But they can see it in their lives that have been with Jesus. Oh, that I would have such a life. Oh, that I would have such a testimony. Is that your longing? To have been with Jesus. That's why we serve Him. That's why we preach Him. Have been with Jesus. They could see it in their service. And they could also hear it in their speech. They had been with Jesus. You see, these men put them in the ignorant class. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were all learnt and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, you see. They put them in the ignorant class. They had not sat at the feet of Gabriel and learnt the letters of law and all of these things. These men had really learnt nothing. That's what they thought. They're ignorant men, these. But oh dear friends, when they heard them speak, when they heard them proclaim the message, they said, these men have been with Jesus. They showed it, my friends, in their service. And they showed they had been with Jesus in their speech. Why? Because they spoke much of Christ. They spoke much of Christ. It would take a sermon by itself just to tell you this morning what they said about Jesus. But man who has been with Jesus will speak of Jesus Christ. They will witness for the Lord Jesus. They will talk about the Lord Jesus. And Peter and John, they had been with Jesus. And oh dear friend, in their very speech, they talked about it. Just for a rough outline, what they said, it was five things they really said. I'm not going into them too deep. It says about his identification. They told him who Jesus was in chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a mortar to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. Here they are saying who Christ is. He's the Holy One. He's the Just. Oh, do you know who He is? He is the Prince of Life. And here's the men in their identification of Christ. Oh, our Christ, our Savior. He's the Holy One. He's the Prince of Life. And then he tells them in chapter 4, verse 11, He is the stone. He's the foundation of the church. You see, they were speaking of Christ, His identification. They told them who Jesus is. They spoke about His crucifixion. Chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and killed the Prince of Life. In verse 18 at the end, that Christ should suffer. In chapter 4, verse 10, whom ye crucified. Oh, dear friends, they spoke of Calvary. They spoke about His love. They spoke about the blood. They spoke about His sacrifice. Oh, they were telling people about Jesus. They were telling all about Christ. All about His love and all about His mercy and how He died upon the cross of Calvary. You see, they've been with Jesus. And the one who with Christ speaks of Calvary. Marvel at His love and how He died upon the cross and shed His blood. And there they are, these men sitting. And they're speaking about the blood. He said, those men have been with Jesus. They spoke about His resurrection in verse 2 of this particular chapter. Preached through Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. The preached also about salvation, because in verse 12 of the chapter we read together, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they preach about salvation. And I'm telling you, all you religious rulers, there's no Savior but Christ. No one else can lift you from your sin. No one else can save you from hell. None but Jesus. None but Jesus. But you see what these men are doing there? talking about Christ.
They're speaking about their Savior. They love the Lord Jesus. His identification, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His salvation. Indeed, they say in chapter 3 and verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Come to the Lord Jesus." That's what they're preaching.
You see, dear friends, they spoke about His rejection as well. But he tells them in verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders.
You have rejected the Lord Jesus. You've cast Him to the one side." Oh, dear friends, in their very conversation, these men showed
that they've been with Jesus. They were speaking of Christ.
They were speaking of the Savior that they love.
They were not ashamed.
We were singing "Ashamed of Jesus," that dear friend. Ashamed what? To speak a word for the Lord Jesus? No, Peter and John was not ashamed to own their Lord or to defend His cause. No, they spoke a word for Christ. They were speaking of Christ. They talked all about Him. His identification, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His salvation, His rejection. All the things about Christ.
No religious ruler said, "These men have been with Jesus." Do you hear them? They're talking about the Lord Jesus.
You can tell they've been with Christ, my friends, by their very, very speech. They talk much of Christ. It was said of Peter in Matthew 26, the time he stood in their own company. And he was quit, of course. He denied. He was faithful at that time. And it says, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." They could hear in his speech a little glimpses that he'd been with Jesus in his speech. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you, the one who has been with Christ will speak well of the Lord Jesus. You cannot help it. You cannot help speaking about the Lord Jesus. Your heart should be full of love for Christ. After all, what He has done for your soul. And how He has saved you. And how He has given you everlasting life. You should speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has saved you from your sin.
Do you speak much of Christ? I say, friends, do people say of you, "See that man, that woman, they've been with Jesus"? How do you know? They're always talking about Him. They're always talking about Jesus. They're always talking about the Lord Jesus, their Savior.
And maybe they don't really like it, because you know, unsaved don't like it when you meet them. I know when I first was saved, there were some people used to hide when they saw me come. They said, "Oh, there he is," and they're running ahead. I suppose, "I know you need to get wise. I think you should go on." But no, a young Silas Christian, no matter who it was,
told them about Jesus. But it's not a bad thing, is it? It's better than saying nothing at all. And some Christians can go to work, but they never talk of Christ.
If you ask a workmate, "What do you think of that person?" They say, "Well, I think he's good and he's kind," but they probably don't know you've been with Jesus. You haven't told them. You haven't witnessed for them. You haven't told who your Savior really is. He's Prince of Life. He's the King of Kings. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one who can save you. Have you done that? The people in your workplace know
that you have been with Jesus, but you haven't told them.
Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend? Upon all our hopes for heaven depend, are you, my friends? Have you spoke a word? Do people know in the workplace, in the school place, that you have been with Jesus? Well, we can talk about everything else, can't we? Talk about politics. We talk about football. Talk about wars. Talk about the weather.
Listen, but no mention of Christ. But here was men, you knew the woe of Jesus. Listen to their speech. They talked of Christ.
And oh, that you and I would be the same Christian in this day and age. Oh, the people say, "That man, that, they've been with Jesus." How do you know? They're always talking about the Lord Jesus. Oh, friends, we should witness for Christ. We should speak of Christ. We should tell others about the Lord Jesus.
They took knowledge of them, the name of Jesus. Tell me, friends, that your speech shows who you're with. Maybe some people not saved. Your speech is full of blasphemy, full of deceit, full of lies, full of sin. You're showing who you're with, all right. With the world, with the ungodly. But all the Christians should show they've been with Christ by their speech. They showed they've been with Jesus. Well, that was said of you and I. So also in their stand they have been with Jesus. Look at their text. It says here, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. Oh dear friend, they saw their stand. They had been with Jesus. They saw their boldness. Peter and John were standing, and they were standing with boldness. They were standing up for Christ without fear. They were not afraid of these men. Listen, they were standing in the very center of the religious capital of Jerusalem, in the very heart of their enemies. They were surrounded by the very enemies of Christ, and yet these two men, Peter and John, they stood without fear, and they stood with great confidence, and they stood, my friend, with boldness, because they've been with Jesus. Had the Lord Jesus not stood on the same ground just previous to this, he had. In Matthew 27, verse 11, it says, "And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest." The Lord Jesus had stood on the same ground. Peter and John had been with Christ. Now they're standing on the very, very ground that Christ stood. They stood with great boldness. They stood boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. You see, friends, they had been with Jesus. Didn't matter about the enemies. Didn't matter about the crowd. I'm standing up for the Lord Jesus. Do you stand up for the Lord Jesus? Do you stand up in your workplace? Do you stand up in your home, my friends? Do you stand up in the community for Christ boldly? I'm standing up for Christ. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, do you stand up for the Lord Jesus? Our friends, do you hide? Do you hide? You see their boldness. These men stood up, you see. They stood for Christ. I told about a soldier one time. He was very lame in one foot. He was laughed at by the other soldiers because he could hardly walk and he was lame. And you know what he said? This man who was lame, he says, "I am here to fight, not to run." That was a good answer. He didn't need his legs. He wasn't going to run, he was going to fight. He was going to stand up, my friends, in a sense for what was his right. Listen, the boldness of their stand, they stood up for Christ. And there's times you and I need boldness to stand. And think of this open-air protest in Belfast. We need people who says, "Yes, I will stand for the Lord Jesus. I'll stand against the wickedness. I will stand against the sin. I will stand for King Jesus." We need people who say, "I will stand for Christ." The boldness of their stand. Think about the loneliness of their stand. Peter and John stood. There was only two of these men standing in this religious capital for Christ. In verse 4 of the chapter it tells us there were 5,000 that believed. Now I can tell you this, if there's 5,000, it's very easy to stand for Christ. If you can look over your shoulder and say, "Well, 5,000 men behind me, I'll stand for the Lord Jesus." But there wasn't. It was just Peter and John at this particular time taking a stand, friends, for truth and for righteousness. You see, they stood in the loneliness of their stand. It was just Peter and John. Now, when they saw the boldness of what Peter and John, it doesn't say when they saw the boldness of the 5,000. It says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, two men standing for Christ. Sometimes it's lonely standing for the Lord Jesus.
Sometimes you look for help,
and nobody really wants to come out and stand. May that never be the case, my friend, with your life, as we would like to take a stand for Christ in this town for the gospel. The Lord Jesus, remember, he stood alone as well. Mark 14, verse 50. And they all forsook him and fled. They're just standing on the ground that Christ stood. He had stood alone. The people had fled from them. And here they are, Peter and John, and they stood for Christ alone. Joseph and Nicodemus and John 19 stood alone. Martin Luther says, "Here am I can do none other." He stood alone. But they can look at Martin Luther. They can look at Peter and John. And they can say, these people have been with Jesus. The loneliness of their stand. And there's times you and I, friends, will have to stand alone. Well, stand alone, so be it. If you're the only one that's standing, stand up for Jesus. Stand up for truth. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for the Savior that we love, you see. The loneliness of her stand. Think about the steadfastness of her stand. Because it tells us in verse 17, when these men came together, that they called them, and it says, "Let us straitly threaten that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, "What is it right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Oh, dear friends, the steadfastness of our stand. They were called aside, and they were told by these religious rulers not to speak in the name of Christ. No more preaching. Do not mention the name of the Lord Jesus again. But to tell them really in a sense where to go to. He said, "Let me tell you this. Judge ye whether it's right or wrong. But it says here to these men, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Listen, we will speak of Christ. The steadfastest of first of all, they would not budge. They would not move one inch. Oh, dear friends, here were men that showed that they had been with Jesus. Because they stood for Christ. John Bunyan was one who was persecuted, put into prison for 12 years. They came and they told this man that if he promised that he wouldn't preach, the door was opened and he could come out of prison. And you know, all he had to say was this, that he wouldn't preach. And the door was open. But he chose to sit for 12 years. Until he was allowed out. Can you imagine what happened to you? What would you do, my friends? The law of the land says you're not allowed to speak in the name of Christ. And they put you into a prison. And they say to you, "Listen, you can come out. But you just promise that you'll not preach or speak in the name of Christ." Maybe you get through the first week. Maybe get through the first week, the first month, the first year. Could you remain for 12 years? You see, friends, the steadfastness in the stand, they've been with Jesus. May the Lord make you and I such faithful soldiers of the cross that we will take a stand for Christ. And what a word it is, friends. I was indoors in Restrever, talking to this lady, and not everybody else, but somebody says, "Well, where are you from? What church do you go to?" I said, "I'm from the Free Presbyterian Church in Kilkee." And I was just waiting on the next go. "Oh," she says, "are you? There's a free pee comes to my workplace." I said, "Where do you work?" "I work somewhere around here, do you?" "And he comes in every Monday, must be like a sales rep." And I says, "Well, does he tell you what I'm telling you? You have to be saved and you have to come to Christ." And she said, "He does." And I thought of that man. I said, "Not good. Just one man in this place in Uri. And there he was standing for Christ. He was speaking for Christ, you see."
Oh, dear friends, that you and I would be such that would take a stand. There's some young people going to college after the summer, some are going to university. I say to you, show the people in the colleges that you've been with Jesus. Take a stand. Right from the very outset. Stand up for Christ, stand up. You'll be tempted to the world, you'll be tempted to sin, you'll be tempted to forsake the Christ you love. Stand up for Christ, and be steadfast, and says, I'll not be going, I'll not be moving. End of story. I've been with Jesus. So why would you want to go to the world? Why do you want to go to sin, eh? When you've been to Christ, He fills your heart with peace, He fills your heart with joy. Can I say lastly and very quickly, their spirit showed they've been with Christ. You see the might of their spirit in verse 8. And Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter and John, no doubt John was filled. Acts 2 verse 4. He was there when the Holy Ghost was given. These men were men of might. They were men of power. They were men who were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can see it in their very spirit. They were men of power, my friends. Why was this? Because they had been with Jesus. Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 4 verse 1, and Jesus has been full of the Holy Ghost. And God's people is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We show that we've been with Jesus. Lord, fill us with the Spirit of God. Let me show people I've been with Christ. The Spirit also, their might, their meekness. One of the fruits of the Spirit is meekness. These men stood boldly, they stood meekly. They weren't going to fight and all the rest, but just like Christ. Remember Christ, it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 23, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't give any cheek back. Oh, don't you pretend I'll be made, I'll sort you out and all the rest of it. Not a bit. The meekness. And Lord, you and I would stand in Christ's cause, my friends. Just forget meekness. Just forget meekness. Because that's how Christ did. That's how Christ. I heard of a Christian in Market Hill. I heard of a fella attacked him. And he grabbed him by the throat. And the fella just said, just you do whatever you have to do. And I know that fella could maybe could have chopped him back if he wanted to. But he had been with Jesus. And that's how it's to be, friends. Stand with meekness for Christ. Oh, I say to you in closing, my friends, do people know you've been with Jesus? Do they know you've been with Christ? Do they know you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And you're all about Peter and John. I say in closing, who have you been with last night? If I shows, maybe there's alcohol in your breath this morning. Maybe there's smoke, you can smell sin off you. We know where you've been, who you've been with. The world and wickedness and sin that will drag the unsaved person down towards hell. You need to come to Christ, you need to come, you need to repent, and as their sins may be blotted out. We pray you'll come today and trust Him with all your heart. Oh, they looked at these men, and they said they've been with Jesus. May that be our testimony. Child of God, as we would seek to live in this day and age, may we have it wherever we go, wherever it is, that people take knowledge of us, that we've been with Jesus. May God write His word upon our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the word of God. We pray You write upon hearts. We pray You help us take a stand for Christ. And we pray indeed that Your people will be encouraged to stand up for the Lord Jesus. Remember those who are not saved. We pray You'll call them by grace to the Lord Jesus. And they'll come and put their faith and trust and are saved today. Now bless us, Lord, with Thy presence and with Thy blessing. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.